Welcome to Play Therapy Community Podcast, providing connection, information, and inspiration to child therapists all around the world. Here's your host, a licensed psychotherapist, a registered play therapist, and my mom, Jackie Flynn.
Well, hey there. Thanks so much for joining us in another episode of Play Therapy Community Podcast. Hey, before we hop into today's episode, I just want to tell you about the Neuroscience of Play Therapy Summit. It's happening February 17th, 18th, and 19th. Dora Henderson and I host it, and it's just such an incredible conference. This year, we're in our second year this year, and Dr. Stephen Porges is the keynote speaker. Oh my goodness, he's the creator of the polyvagal theory. So we are going to be able to have conversations with him about play and why and how it's therapeutic. How is it helpful to the autonomic nervous system? Such good stuff. In addition to that, there are some incredible presentations. Dr. Ileana Gill, Dr. David Crenshaw, Lisa Dion, Carmen Jimenez-Pride, Dr. Robert Jason Grant, and Dora and I are going to be doing some drum circles on the beach. Claire Melanson's going to be doing some nature-based attachment play therapy. Dr. Janet Courtney has something really cool planned with an activity of releasing out into the ocean. And then Dr. Louise Peters and Bree Ulrich is going to do some trauma-informed yoga with us on the beach. That's for the in-person option. But if you'd like to join us virtually, then you will be able to see all the presentations, just not those beach experientials. You can find more information about it and also register at www.playtherapycommunity.com. All right, thank you. Let's hop into today's episode. Well, hi, Dr. Welsh. Thank you so much for being a part of our Play Therapy Community podcast. You are definitely a dear friend of mine and a colleague, someone that I look up to in so many ways, and a prior guest right here on our podcast. I know we talked about your parenting model, which is episode 88. So for those listening, if you haven't listened to that episode yet, definitely recommend go back and listen to it after you listen to this or pausing this and go back, whatever works best for you. But Becky, before we get started, let me have you just introduce yourself. Tell people who you are and what you do.
Yes, I am Becky Welsh, and I kind of have a dual role of running a counseling center in McKinney, Texas, and love doing that, training students and therapists, mainly in play therapy. But other things as well. And then I am also a full-time faculty at Colorado Christian, where I teach in the Masters of Clinical Mental Health Counseling.
Yeah, I actually got to see your private practice. It's beautiful. It's very mindfully designed. You have so many different spaces there, play therapy rooms, looks like adult rooms, and even right down to the waiting room. You have it all laid out intentionally. So super cool. And you also teach, which is so cool. I love everything about you. Okay. So before on episode 88, you gave us some specifics about your model. So maybe we could do just like a little nutshell, like a review of what your model is and what it's about. And then maybe talk about like, what do you actually do? What are some practical applications of it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it is called the needs connection model, which is, you know, fairly appropriate because we definitely talk about the needs and because it's all about connection, right? No matter who we're talking about, honestly, it could be connection with friends, right? Or connection with therapist and client, or with therapist and parent. So there are so many applications to this that as it has come about, we've seen it grow. So it did start out as a parenting model where I was teaching parents, and I still do, what the children actually need. And not only that, but we get to place them in a specific need and maybe a focus where we can focus and say, this is what they need. This is how we're going to give it to them so that they can continue in that connection process. So the basic needs are first. And if you think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, because that's what it was based off of, we have food, sleep, and the environment. Mm-hmm. And the safety, the predictability of the environment, right?
Yeah, and we need those like that. That's absolute, like, that's the foundation.
Absolutely. And then next is trust, where it's all about consistency, right? And this is where attachment starts to come in play more, you know, and more. So that would be the first, I mean, the next level, sorry, of trust. And then third level is nurture. And that is kind of that deeper level of trust, you know, where that is just like the consistency of being able to give them the things. Nurturing goes to that deeper level of the comfort, the protection, the real attunement, connection, empathy kind of things. That's where that starts really taking place, right? And so obviously they need that. This is where touch happens, and so needed, right, for so many. And then time, which I almost replace it with the word play, because of the importance of play for children, obviously. And but that parents and therapists and whoever, to have that connection, we have to spend time, and we have to be able to enter their world, let them communicate the way they need to, so that we can understand. So that's that third level, I mean, fourth level. And then fifth is empowerment, where basically we're saying, we believe in you. We believe you can do this. And because of the connection we've developed up to that point, they are able to take risks. And we challenge and have them do some risk taking, and they're okay then to fail. Oh. And we say, it's okay. We'll be right here. Right. Yeah. Instead of that overprotective bubble of, I don't want you ever to get hurt. That's an disempowerment part of it.
Yes, it's a message to them, like, I don't think you'll be safe, and maybe I don't believe in you, so they don't believe in themselves or think that they're safe too.
Exactly. And again, this happens in all kinds of relationships. This isn't just parent-child, but therapist-client, yes. And just peer-to-peer, husband, wife, all those kind of things, right? And then final level, higher cognitive functioning way up there is discipline, which actually has nothing to do with punishment, but really more guidance and walking them down that path to the goals that they have for themselves, and how to get there through teaching and training and correcting and rebuking.
Well, I love it. And it does seem like it goes from, like, just like Maslow's hierarchy needs, from the very basic needs, climbs up into, I think of, like, the equivalent of self-actualization, but on the child development. It seems like covering all those pieces, at least from my perspective as a child therapist, it feels really almost like mind-blowing, the clarity that it offers to something that, and that, I don't want to say simplification, but that, I guess the clarity is the word, to something that otherwise is very ambiguous in some ways and difficult to navigate. Relationships are hard sometimes.
Relationships are hard, right? And you know, that's funny that you said that, Jackie, because that's probably the word I hear most often as I train on this or present this, and even more specifically to therapists or student therapists, right? And they say, it brings everything together. It's that simplification and clarification of, again, not just parent-child, but almost a case conceptualization, how we can really conceptualize what's going on, not only with the child, but with the family, the household, and where we can focus then on where they, what they need.
Yes, it truly, like even as you're describing that, I visualize and I think about like when we're working with kids, having this like clear, like clinical picture of what is this child's world like? What's it like to be them? What's it like to be in their relationships, in their body? And it seems like that covers all the pieces as it goes up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what connection is, right? Being able to be so attuned with yourself and with somebody else that that connection can happen.
Mm-hmm. On a side note, it makes me think about when we went kayaking in Tampa last year. Actually, it was earlier this year. And we were so attuned that you were rowing.
And you weren't.
And I trusted you to get us back. Oh, that's so fun. Totally off topic, but I wanted to fit that in somehow. Okay, so like being at your office and really seeing the spaces that you have and the intentionality in it, it definitely has that appeal. Like I could imagine what it's like to be a child and looking at the space and even feeling like this place is designed for me. But it seems like it has that feel parent-wise too. And I know your model is like such a big part of your work. What do you actually do? Like, what's a practical application of your model?
So when I'm with a parent and my philosophy is I want to spend time with the parents every time I'm with the child. I just think it's so important. As child therapists, we need to have that information of what's going on with the parents, what's going on with the child. And, you know, they're typically the ones that can report that better than the child can. And, you know, the way I talk to my parents is the more information I have from you, the better I'm going to be able to understand and interpret and communicate and connect with your child, right? And so, you know, I do that right off the bat. So pretty much after intake, I am introducing them to the model. I'm introducing them to the concept of these are all the things your child needs. And somewhere along the way, disconnect happens, right? Because we don't meet their needs. And because we're human, all of us as parents do that. Friends. Yes, exactly.
Even well-intentioned and well-trained, things happen. Relationship ruptures occur.
Absolutely. And as I'm saying this, I want to broaden the scope of beyond parenting. And I really want you to think more in terms of therapist-client, because that's the way I treat my parents in the parent feedback. And I think that's really important to treat them not as I'm this expert coming in, but I want to educate them in a way, like you were saying, that's simple enough for them to go, I know exactly where my kid is. And wherever that level of disconnect is, that's what we're going to focus on. And so much of the time, unfortunately, by the time they get to therapy, they're either at the bottom in basic needs of, and typically chaotic household, stress, safety, all of those kind of things, right? Or trust. So they're typically at those bottom two. Sometimes they're a little higher, but most. And so we talk about that and I introduce it and they typically go, this is where I think we are. And so I can say, you know, great. Then that's what we're going to focus on. That's what I'm going to focus on in my sessions with your child in play therapy. So for instance, if they're in that bottom level and they have an unpredictable environment that they live in, you know, they don't know if, you know, they're going to move again, if who's going to be there, who's going to be upset or not, you know, there's just no predictability, then that's what I'm going to focus on overall in the play therapy session. So I'm going to do the same thing when they come in, the same thing when they leave. I'm going to have the timer in the same place. I'm going to try to have the toys as much in the same place as I can, and create a calm environment, which is exactly what, so like I'm trying to give them what they lack outside of there and focus on that. I'm not focusing on setting limits. I'm not focusing on necessarily all of that other stuff right then, because I want them to feel safe. So let me give you an example.
Like making sure like you don't rearrange the room each time when they come in. And gosh, one thing that you just said really kind of hit home with me. Like if you're communicating so deeply with the parent and the child is getting like the same vibe from the parent as they are from you, there's some congruency there, which is
exactly
really feels the same. I remember something you told me recently, I think it was after your book study, where how important it is for the parent to show up in a connected way after something distressing or disturbing has happened. It could even make the difference of whether it leads to traumatization or not. Right? Sorry, I messed that word up. Traumatizing in the child.
Yes. Yeah. So the caregiver's response to a potentially traumatic event makes all the difference. And let me say, caregiver can include therapist. So we can be the one to repair that disconnect just by when they come in and they say, I fell off my bike and it hurt. And their parents were the ones who go, get up, get back on, you can do it. Well, to them, that may be very traumatizing.
Yeah.
But if we as therapists, because we want to connect, don't say that, but we say, oh, that must have been scary. And all of that, and just trying to keep that safety and, you know, just be right there and not judge and not all of those things. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, well, what didn't you do? You know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Then we can start that repair, even without the parents, and they start seeing change. They start seeing how we model. And then, like you said, to bring them along, then, oh my gosh, it makes huge difference.
That's so good. Like, as you're saying that, like I'm floating back to my pre-therapist years of my kids being little, and it's like, what should you have done different? There's all these other pieces that would have been much better. Just say, oh, I bet that's so scary, and allow the child just to experience, kind of like what Dr. Peter Levine talks about, like trauma proofing, allow the child to be in that space without, you know, jolting them into different, whether
exactly
moving or teaching them a lesson or anything.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's through this connection, it's through a therapist and parent, hopefully, meeting these needs, you know, quality wise and in progression, or maybe even simultaneously, right? That we can get to that point where they feel safe enough and connected with us. We can help them reenact trauma. We can help them play out trauma in such a way that they feel safe, that they can process, and they can go forward.
So to get, in essence, like a second chance of having a different outcome to it, to get a
totally
opportunity. So you say you're like, you like to meet with the parent like every session. Is it like, what's that look like? Is it like half the session or does it vary?
It really is almost half of the session that I meet with the parents as well. And so I meet with the child for maybe 30, 35 minutes for play therapy. And then we go transition right into meeting with the parents.
Okay.
And, or parent, you know, whatever. And yeah. sometimes both, sometimes one. And talking about how are things, you know, how are you doing? And I typically bring it back to the model. How are we doing with trust? What happened this week? Because I have worksheets and I have homework and activities that they can do to focus on that specific thing. And so we can come back and talk about it. And so much of the time it's so fun because they can go, you know what? All I did was sit down and listen. And, you know, I knew that this is what he needed because of what you said. And I did it. And I was amazed. Like, he didn't throw a tantrum or whatever. And so just that little glimmer of hope can help them, you know, continue on. And then, you know, I just continue to model that model through my interactions with the child as well. And doing it in really in a non-judgmental way, not kind of going, well, you didn't meet their needs, so we yeah. got to fix this, but I want to give you this so that we both have a way to be on the same page okay. and be able to work with your child together.
I love that. I love the fact that, like, giving them supports and everything. I think sometimes as child therapists, we think, oh, you know, I don't want to put too much on the parent or anything. But when they come to us for help, they grasp on. Many times they'll grasp on to everything we can give them. And if they don't, they have it for, you know, review when they do need it. And it just deepens the work. So is it like a packet of information you give them, or is it customized per person?
It typically it's not super customized, but that's why I like to meet with the parents too, because, and that's what I, one of the things I like about the model is I feel like other like behavior model kind of thing, parenting things are really cookie cutter. And it's like, you know, if they do this, you do this. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's more about, I want the whole picture. So I want to know like what's going on with the parents. And so I'm using the model as a therapist with the parent. Does that make sense? And so I'm looking for what they lacked. I'm looking for where their disconnect is. And if I can help them in my time with them, they're going to be better off to be a better parent to their child.
I love that. And then they're on the kind of the other end of that relationship. So they felt it. And oh, so many layers. That's so good. Now, Dr. Welsh, we're like almost out of time, but I want to make sure people know where to go to learn about your model or to even learn more from you. I don't know if you offer any consultations or anything like that or trainings.
I do. And we are really working on getting the resources out there. And so anything that has to do with my model is going to be whatever you can pay. I don't have these high priced things. So it's going to be whatever you feel like you can pay for the resources, videos, worksheets, all of that kind of stuff. That's up to you. And the proceeds go to our nonprofit counseling center.
Oh, I love it. Wow. Wow, that's beautiful. Now, the videos, are they, like if a clinician did get them, would they use them to show the parents they work with or to learn about it themselves or just both?
I have videos for both. So okay. I have videos that they can show the parents. That's for parents to help understand the model. And then I have videos for the therapists to understand it more from the clinical end of things. And it's at drbecki.com. I forgot to tell you that. So drbecki.com. Yeah, drbecki.com.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I know just after working with you for a while and just knowing you, like, quality is your jam. So you
Well,
probably,
thank you.
and this is, I don't know if you mentioned this in the beginning, but it's like 3 decades in the works. Like, this isn't something that you just came up with on a vacation cruise. You're
Yeah, no,
decades.
yeah, and we are on research study number three to study its effectiveness. So it's
Wow.
exciting.
It sure is. Okay,
Yeah.
so wherever you're listening, if you're watching this video, the link to drbecky.com will be underneath here. But if you're listening on audio only, like whether it's on iTunes or Spotify or wherever, feel free to go to playtherapycommunity.com for the link, or just go directly to Dr. Becky, drbecki.com. All right, Becky, thank you so much. You know,
Well, thank you.
you're welcome. All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.